It's Window Nation's semi-annual sale, and it's a big deal. Right now, get 50% off all windows along with no interest for 5 years plus bonus savings when you schedule a consult today. If your windows leak, get foggy or hot, or you're paying high utility bills, that's a big deal. With Window Nation's semi-annual sale, you can replace your windows and save a big deal too. Schedule a no-obligation in-home estimate now. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl,
Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. It's the afternoon show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Jack Fritz and Ike Reese hanging out on this Monday afternoon. We'll go back to your phone calls here after we speak to Elliot Shore Parks, who is live down at the owners' meetings in Orlando. What's happening, Elliot?
What up? How are you guys doing?
You enjoying sunny Orlando?
Yeah, I mean, you guys got to go down for Clearwater, see the Phillies, so... You know, I figured I would come down and check it out as well.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So Howie Roseman spoke earlier today. Seems like some quotes are coming out about it. What did he say about the Hassan Reddick situation? Did it change how you feel about the situation after listening to Howie? What did he say about Hassan Reddick?
He did not say much about Hassan Reddick, which, you know, is not overly surprising. I think in all of our time kind of covering Howie Roseman, watching how he handles situations, I didn't expect him to go into a deep dive into what's really happening and what he would trade him for and why he might trade him. He didn't really want to comment at all. So I came to Orlando with the expectation that Hassan Reddick has played his last snap with the Eagles, and I still feel that way. You look at the moves they've made this offseason, bringing in Bryce Huff, keeping Josh Sweat. There's just not really room for Hassan Reddick anymore. Now, as to the timing of it, I don't think this is something that's going to happen anytime soon. All the GMs and head coaches are here in Orlando, so maybe that expedites it. But I don't think the Eagles are just going to trade them just to get this over with. The draft is still coming up. The teams could get players in the draft that they didn't expect or not get edge rushers, making them more interested in Reddick. Guys could get hurt, you know, in OTAs when all the 32 teams around the league are practicing. So I don't think Reddick will play for the Eagles, but it wouldn't shock me if, you know, come OTAs or a week or two before training camp, we're still talking about this.
Yeah, I wonder why, though. What value could they be looking for? Like, what's the pick that they're looking for? I mean, they let him go as a can they get a comp pick for him next year if he was on the team?
Yeah, so if he plays all next year for the Eagles and then his contract expires and then he signs with the team, they would receive a comp pick. So you are right, like, assuming, you know, he gets a decent sized contract next year, and I think it's fair to assume he would, like, you're probably looking at a third round pick. So there's that. But I think the other thing is, I would imagine teams around the league don't feel the Eagles are negotiating from a position of power right now. Like, they know they're not, that the Eagles are not going to keep Hassan Reddick. They know he's going to be traded. So when that's the case, I mean, it's much like if you remember the Carson Wentz situation, when everyone knew Carson wanted out and wanted to go to the Colts, the Eagles dragged that thing out. Like, the Bears got interested, if you believe that, I guess. But they did what they had to do to make sure they got value for it. Even with Bradford, right? They signed Bradford, drafted Wentz. Everyone's like, well, they're definitely going to trade Bradford. They took him all the way to, like, cutdown day before they traded him. And I know there's a bit of luck involved there. So as to what they're waiting for, I think they just don't feel there's a need to take the best offer there is right now. Like, maybe the best offer right now is a third-round pick, but they think a month from now, after the draft, training camp, that offer can be better. So I think that's kind of the holdup. Now they just they're not playing a game for a few months, so there's really no reason to do it unless they have an offer they love.
Yeah, I guess the only reason I'm asking this question because you feel strongly that he's not going to be here. Like if you were to tell me all this and then tagged it with, well, if worst come to worst, the Eagles feel like they're well prepared to go into the season with Hassan Reddick playing on the final year of his deal. Like, then I could understand them waiting this out. Like, the one thing with Bradford, they were okay if he had to start because Wentz didn't have to start that year. They just had a situation arise where it became beneficial to them. And I totally understand that. So when you say you don't believe Hassan is coming back, then that makes me think that they should just get a deal done as soon as they can. Like, what's the point of waiting till training camp to try to get a deal done for next year? Like, what is it? I understand that the value of the pick that they're going to get that is going to make it worth it to them. He's still a 30-year-old defensive end that wants a new deal.
Yeah, so I agree to an extent with what you're saying. Like, if you know he's not going to be back and you can get, let's say, a third and a five, or, you know, you can move up almost a full round if you swap picks or something, like, why not just take the deal now? That's just not how they've operated in the past, and I don't think that's how they're going to do it here. Now, while I firmly believe Reddick has played his last snap with the Eagles, to your point, if they do wait this out, and let's say they don't trade him after the draft, and let's say they're not getting good offers, and let's say Hassan is just like, hey, you know what, like, I'll take a $4 million raise or whatever, you make him the highest paid edge rusher on the team, and he plays the final year, like, could that happen? Yes, because he is under contract. They have a ton of salary cap space. Like, they right. have no reason to have to move him.
Right.
I think what could change, to your point, is a change in attitude from both sides, right? Where, like, Reddick is saying, hey, you know what? The offer that I want is not out there. I don't want to move. I want to play for the Eagles. And the Eagles are saying, all right, we'll bring you back. We'll, you know, cut snaps from people. But we'll – so, like, those things could happen. But as of now – I just think both sides are pretty set on where they're at. Hassan wants more money than I think the Eagles are willing to pay him. Okay. The Eagles are willing to trade him, but they're not just going to give him away. And with no real deadline, there's no incentive for either side to kind of blink first.
And there's no way they would just cut him, right?
No. No, I would.
I'd be shocked.
I would hope not, but that's where I'm like, is this going to lead to him getting cut? Like, if I'm not going to show up and that stuff.
He's got to show up and get paid.
I know.
I think if it got to a point where, and we're going down the hypothetical road, but let's say he's not traded after the draft and there's not a good value out there and he's still upset because he feels undervalued by the league. Like, I think the Eagles would just keep him under contract and kind of call his bluff on how upset he's really going to be, because he would be in a contract year. So at that point, like, he would want to play. I mean, it would be delicate to balance in the locker room if that were to happen. But at the same time, like, Hassan, I think we all agree with this, like, I think they should keep him. I think he's the best edge rusher on the team. I think he is worth, to an extent, the money he's asking for. If Hassan makes it all the way to training camp and no team is willing to trade, like, a third-round pick for him or give him that money, then he also might have to look in the mirror a little and go, you know what, like, I can feel that way about myself and have good reason to feel that way. Mm-hmm. But if the rest of the league doesn't, like, what am I doing here? Am I going to wreck a year of my career? You know, so there's that. It could play out that way as well, in theory.
Yeah, and my final thing on it kind of feels like it could have the Zach Ertz feel to it, right? We know Zach was upset all offseason, didn't come around, showed up to training camp, shorts backwards, hair blonde, and gave an emotional, really, speech and plea about wanting to be here and how he was hurt about not getting a deal. I wouldn't expect that out of Hassan, but Zach Ertz had to show up to camp until he got traded later that year. So I'm wondering if that could happen with Hassan too.
It's possible that, like, the last thing, and then I know there's other things to talk about with him. I do wonder, like, an emphasis for the Eagles this offseason has kind of been, like, the locker room and the culture and, like, getting the vibes back right. Mm-hmm. So while they could bring him to camp, like, you know, they have shown they will do it. The Zach Ertz thing you said is a perfect example. I wonder if they really want that distraction coming to camp when the whole kind of point of camp is going to be getting guys to get along, getting the culture back right, and maybe you take less than just to move on from them, as opposed to having that kind of circus or distraction or unhappy player at camp.
What did Howie have to say about Saquon Barkley?
So I think Saquon is going to be much more than, like, running back one with this team. Like, I don't know if he's going to be the top option on offense, but, you know, like a Christian McCaffrey type of player where You're going to see him in on all three downs. You're going to see him carry the ball a ton. You're going to see him involved in the passing game. I think they're going to get creative with him. Like, AJ is the top guy on the offense. Devontae, we all know, like, Dallas Goedert. All those guys are still going to be very involved. But I think they view Saquon as much more than a running back. Like, I think if he plays all 17 games, it wouldn't shock me if he touched the ball 300, 325 times. Like, I think he's going to get the ball quite a bit. And the other interesting thing that Howie said, which I think is true, is the pendulum might have swung, you know, too far in the way of undervaluing running backs.
Like, interesting.
Yeah, they must listen to the, you know, the top show in the afternoon.
Exactly.
excuse me. But the pendulum thing, I mean, if you look at, you know, we spent so much time on the station this offseason, and then really last year as well with Bijan, like talking about, you know, well, they're paying too much for a running back. Like, bottom line is the running back touches the ball a ton. And so I think the Eagles view it that way now that, look, if Saquon was $25 million a year, like some of these receivers, then no, I don't think Saquon would be on the Eagles. But at $11 million, $12 million a year, I think they view it as kind of almost an undervalued or underappreciated asset in with how much he's going to be involved versus how much they're actually paying him.
Mm-hmm. What about Devin White? What did he have to say about him?
So Devin White, you know, I think there's a couple things that they like about Devin White. One, I think they also view him in the Chauncey mold, and we can talk about Chauncey too. Like, Howie was pretty open about the fact that they feel Chauncey is going to come in, bring like a personality that they feel they didn't have last year, especially in that back seven and especially down the stretch. So Howie did not say this or did not admit it, but you wonder if they maybe, you know, think it was a mistake letting Chauncey go, obviously, just in terms of they let him go last offseason, maybe worried about how he fits in the locker room, those type of things. And we'll see if it works out. But I think they view him coming back as like a real plus for the culture of the locker room. And I think they kind of view Devin White that way as well. He's coming from, you know, he's won a Super Bowl. He played at a top program. He's been a Pro Bowl player. So I think they're expecting him to be like a tone setter on that defense. And then in terms of how they'll use him, I think he's going to go after the quarterback a ton. Like, I think they view him as fast, athletic, like a playmaker. He will drop into coverage, obviously, but I think Devin White's going to spend most of his time in an Eagles uniform, like going downhill as opposed to backing up.
Mm-hmm. And that's the way they should use him. I mean, that's his strength. Yeah, his strength is going at the quarterback. Yes, I totally agree.
So the other thing real quick, one name I think we have not talked about a lot, but I think come training camp and in the season we will talk about more, is Zach Bond, the linebacker they signed from the Saints. Yeah. But we just talked about Hassan Reddick, and we've, you know, said it's Reddick, it's Huff, it's Sweat, Nolan Smith, Brandon Graham. We should probably include Zach Bond in that list. If you look at how Vic Fangio used, I believe is it Andrew Van
Ginkle, yes, yeah.
Rolls off the tongue. If you look at how he used that player in Miami, I think Zach Bond could potentially have the same type of role here. Like, athletic, can play linebacker, kind of has the body of an edge, has rushed the passer before. So he could also be, you know, a potentially part of why Reddick isn't going to be here anymore.
Yeah.
He's also going to be getting snaps along the edge.
Extra rusher, yeah.
Well, that sounds like not a great idea. I mean, I know that's what they have to say, but like, oh, we're going to move on from Hassan Reddick because, hey, Zach Bond might be ready to take that step forward.
Yeah,
don't underestimate the breakout Zach Bond.
I know. Man. I keep on calling him the Bonnie Man, like the Brawny Man. But
Brawny
listen,
man, yeah.
But listen, this is your breakout player is Zach Bond, Elliot.
Well, you know, for $1.5 million or whatever they gave him, I think they're pretty realistic on what his real expectations are. But I do think, like, that's how they view him. When they signed him initially, it was, a linebacker. I would view him more as an edge than a linebacker.
Did you get the sense from talking to Howie today that their next moves on defense are pretty much going to be in the draft? Like, are they putting more resources into that than say, a Justin Simmons or, you know, any of these other free agents that are out there?
So I did ask Howie about Justin Simmons, and Howie said nothing back, obviously.
Always.
That's awesome.
No one better.
Well, he didn't shut it down. That's good news. He didn't shut it down.
Yeah, but I did ask. I felt for the people. You know, I would at least ask about it. You know, the Justin Simmons thing, I kind of think they will sign other players, and if his value drops far enough, maybe they will take a look at him. But they view Chauncey as like a true safety. So that's one spot where, you know, he – 90% of the snaps or whatever are taken there. Mm-hmm. And then for whatever we feel about Reed Blankenship, there is still Sidney Brown. And while Sidney's coming off an injury and, you know, who knows if he'll be ready,
right.
If Sidney's ready to go to start week one or week two, I don't think they want Sidney sitting on the bench all year. So Justin Simmons would block that. That being said, Justin Simmons is not signed. These are a big few days for him because, again, all the GMs are here. There's some agents here. I don't know if his agent is here, but you know, deals do get done at the owners' meeting. But if his price continues to drop, I wouldn't completely rule it out, but I don't think they're, like, aggressively pursuing him.
Did he say anything about Bradbury?
So I think the sense I get with Bradbury is they are willing to, like, give him a chance to see if he can bounce back. And if you look at his career, I mean, he got cut from the Giants because they thought so poorly of him, they wouldn't even redo his deal. They just straight up cut him. And then he came back with the Eagles, signed with the Eagles and had an all-pro year. So I think there's some belief that, you know, he's a player that's had up and down years in his career. He's shown he can bounce back. And he obviously is under contract with a big Ted money hit. So I don't think they want to get rid of him. But if they make one big move the rest of the offseason, it wouldn't shock me if it was a corner. Like, I think Slay is going to be here. They think highly of Slay, the sense I get. But it wouldn't shock me if come draft time, if they're sitting there at 22, like, you know, Patrick Surtain or, you know, one of these guys where they feel they can add, like, a stud young player, it's not something I'd rule out. But Bradbury will get a chance in OTAs, and then we'll see, you know, what they think after seeing him there.
Final thing, 2 years in a row of Nick and missing the coach's photo. What's going on with Sirianni?
So, look, if I could give Nick some advice, right?
Yeah, he would definitely take it, too. You guys are close.
I think, yeah. Not with football, more so with, you know, imaging and photos. I think
correct, yeah. No one better, yeah.
But, like, you were 2 years removed from the Super Bowl. People are already kind of making the joke, oh, you're not the real head. Like, go get in the photo, man. Like, you've earned being in that photo. Go sit front and center. I know if I was
well, front and center might be a little much.
Go sit front and center. See who's going to make you move. Howie did it, right? So.
Well, Howie's Howie, man. I would have put Kellen Moore there before Sirianni.
Yeah, I look, I'm sure he was busy. Probably, but
oh, yeah, I'm sure he's swamped. Where was everyone else at? Everyone else is right on time. Where's Nikki?
Yeah. I think there was actually four or five head coaches that were missing, which, by the way, from the NFL's perspective, they need to do a better job of scheduling this photo when everyone can make it. Like, if they're going to make a big deal out of taking this photo, then you have to make sure everyone's there. But Nick wasn't in it last year, wasn't in it this year. I think Nick needs to, you know, get a little more, I haven't used this term in a while, but, like, franchise swag and just step up there, get in the photo, and, like, be one of the, you know, front and center coaches. He's young, he's been to a Super Bowl. Like, I think he has the resume where he should be promoting himself a little more. Get in the picture and, you know, make sure you're seen.
Not after the way this season ended, yeah, he's not trying to be out there front center, man.
All right, maybe second row this year. But then next year,
well,
get
listen,
right back in there.
I always appreciate
Kellen Moore taking the photo.
I know. Yeah. I always appreciate you're always focused on the important things, Elliot. That's one of your best qualities.
Don't worry. And look, and if he wants advice on the outfits to wear for that, I could help him out there too. But just make sure he's in the photo. That's gotta be a priority next year.
Just make sure he's ready for 7:45 tomorrow. He's got a big press
exactly
conference
right
tomorrow.
And then Jeffrey Lurie tomorrow too. So
I know.
It's gonna be another exciting day.
Does Jeffrey Lurie bring up Paris Campbell?
Well, somebody's going to bring it up to him. So, yeah, whether he brings it up or not. Elliot,
yeah,
we'll somebody's going to bring it up.
Yeah. All right, Elliot, have fun down in Orlando, all right?
All right, brother.
All right, sounds good. Talk to you guys.
Yes, sir.
All right, there he goes, Elliot Schwer Parks. Ben Kenny, do you agree on the Zach Bond breakdown?
That's a
right
good
there
take.
Yeah, it's a good take. If you don't know, Ben Kenny is a Wisconsin alum.
Aficionado.
Yeah, for our audience out there not aware of Ben Kenny.